Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. We're so glad to have you here. It's finally full spring for real this time. At least I'm hoping it's for real this time. We've got green plants. I almost got my first sunburn of the year the other day. I'm loving it. It's also, as I'm sure you were super curious about, it's National Have a Coke Day on Wednesday when this comes out.
Okay, all right.
Not a sponsored episode. That would be awesome if it were.
We'll work on that.
We'll work on getting that. It's also National No Socks Day and National Receptionist Day, which was really that hard-hitting journalism that we aspire to bring to this podcast.
Right. You've been informed. Yes.
You've been informed. And on, I mean, we could close now, but, you know, we do also have some other content that we focus on aside from our riveting journalistic work. Dan, your sermon on Sunday was fascinating. Mm. I love this series. I love all of these series, honestly, but this is a really interesting one because there's so many different places we can go with this. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just, why don't you give us a refresher on the sermon from Sunday so that I don't keep looking up useless holidays.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I like that. It's giving me some thoughts for Wednesday now, my plans for the day. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6 and doing a series on the armor of God there in the back half of that chapter, and really now getting into the pieces of armor and what are they, how can we be putting them on. And so this week was the breastplate of righteousness, which is the second piece of armor really described in this section of verses. And those questions have helped me be centered. You know, what is it we're talking about? So we talked about what is righteousness, and we admitted a very big topic it is, and but then talked about how can we be putting this on. And some of that too, and we'll talk more about it as we go through our conversation. There's some parts that are maybe very practical, seem kind of obvious, so I can do this at work or school, and some that are more spiritual practice, you know, and that maybe takes a little more intentionality too. But just seeing how really, and we'll talk about this, I know, but how righteousness boils down to our relationship with the Lord. And that's so foundational, and that's what the enemy wants to take us away from, because, of course, when we're connected with the Lord, we have life, and he doesn't want that for us. And so just maintaining that and wearing that every day, it really protects us from the schemes of the evil one. So, it was good. Good reflection, and it probably was maybe even slightly longer than some other messages, even though it's a half a verse, one phrase, because it's such a big topic.
And there, like you said, there's so much to unpack here. And actually, I would like to unpack your packing, as it were, because kind of like you just said, like, righteousness is a huge topic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the sermon, you admit, like, throughout Scripture, there's like 80 different elements that go into righteousness, and 80 different ways righteousness can look like. Mm-hmm. And so for this one, we kind of focused on, you know, this is like the relationship. Mm-hmm. How did you choose to focus in on that relational aspect instead of all these others?
Yeah, so, you know, I've studied righteousness before because it's such a big concept when we're talking about our faith. And it's, like we said, it's a word that appears hundreds of times in Scripture, Old Testament and New. It's not like something appears out of nowhere in Jesus' ministry. This is up for discussion a long way through. And there's, I would say, kind of four basic, and we kind of use that for a little outline, four basic ways that we see righteousness being used in Scripture. Sometimes it's describing God's righteous acts. You know, what the Lord does is righteous, and it's, you know, his acts of salvation are righteous. Sometimes, and this is especially in Paul's writings, it's about how we are right before God, and this more of legal justification, you know, how righteous before him in Christ. Then there's talking about the way we're supposed to live. We're made to live, and now, again, in Christ, to live righteously, holy lives. And then the last piece is there's a righteous outcome to all of this, shalom. And so there's all those pieces, and that's just trying to distill that down. And as I thought about it during the week, I said, boy, these all seem to point back to our relationship with God. How is that possible in the first place? Well, because of his righteousness and his works. And then we have this now right standing. We can worship him and be his people because of he's declared us so in Christ. And now we know we're supposed to live this way. You know, we're our new selves, as Paul writes. And so now we relate to him by saying, we love you, and we're going to live your way. And then, you know, so that's kind of even, we gave that bit of an outline for how we put it on. But that's how I arrived at this, trying to take this massive topic and bring it down where I hope for those listening, we could say, okay, I'm seeing you know, more of how I can put this on. And so that's just trying to combine all of it into saying those different aspects all point to this relationship we have
right.
with the Lord.
Well, that's such a central piece of it. And I think that really makes a ton of sense. So I really appreciated that because you're right. It's such a big mess. And I think it really all central to all these other things is really just that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes back to that.
Yeah. I thought it was really great that you highlighted our need to share God's works and deeds in general.
Mm-hmm.
But also I thought it was interesting highlighting our need to thank God directly for the things he's done.
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of fall into the habit, and I know I've done this before. I'm like, oh, thank Jesus for this, or, you know. But, like, genuinely expressing thanks and gratitude towards God is super important and towards the people in our lives and in our communities. And part of the reason I think it's really difficult is we just don't have a good understanding of what it means to live in a culture of gratitude and thankfulness. You know, we can say the words, thank you, God, for doing this, or, you know, put on our Facebook blurb, thank Jesus for allowing us to do all of this, you know. But often that really ends up being kind of a humble brag in a way. It's like, thank you, Jesus, I was able to do this. Or thank you, Jesus, we did this. And it's so much less about what God did. And it's kind of giving lip service in a way. So I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about how we could demonstrate thankfulness both to God and to our local communities in a genuine manner.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, Austin, because it was part of what we talked about, how we put this on and just proclaiming God's works. And being thankful is such a huge part of that. And you're right that so much of this is inauthentic even in our lives, is thankfulness. And it's really sad. You look at our culture, and we have so much. If there's any culture in the world that should be expressing gratitude, especially from a Christian standpoint, it should be
absolutely.
Us. And yet, it is a struggle, even when it comes to prayer. Sometimes, like you said, we're just using that as a way to maybe tout our own resumes, to use what we talked about in the sermon. Or, you know, there's this piece, too, that we're really saying thankful things to set up our next complaint. If you know what I mean.
I do. I wish I didn't, but I do.
Yeah, I'm self-admitting that too. I'm really thankful for this, but boy, I wish it was that way more often. Or, you know, this kind of, we're always almost setting up the next thing we're not going to be thankful for. And boy, that's off, isn't it, as God's people. And so I think you're right. This is something we need to think about and try to be more intentional with. And we say that gratitude's an attitude. We see that phrase a lot, easy to remember. It's such a truth, though, that this is an attitude. It's not even just saying, God, I'm so thankful. It should show in the way I'm approaching life and the people around me and, of course, God himself, first and foremost. And so thinking about that, we said one of the things, just start with saying these things to God. So if you're listening, right, and you're someone who prays to the Lord, we need to just take stock of what's the content of our prayers. If there's very little or no gratitude in our prayers, that's off. We should start with that, right, in so many ways, that thankfulness for even the opportunity to pray. So there's one piece. I think in our worship, and Pastor Eric talked about it, you know, a week and a half ago, we talked about it a bit this week too, our worship services should be largely expressions of gratitude. We bring in other pieces, lament and you know, confession and other things, but mostly this is a celebration. And that is not, I would say, even typically what someone would probably say it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have that sense. And that's something we need to look at, because this should be just, we're so thankful to be here, thankful to God for what he's done, thankful for the new life we have. So even in our worship, to be looking at that and preparing and thinking about, yeah, this is why we're here. And, you know, you mentioned our communities, too. I don't know. I'll just say for myself, when I come across people who are grateful people, thankful, I understand if you're going through, sometimes it can be annoying if you're going through a rough spot. But overall, these are people I want to be around.
Yeah.
Because they just have an outlook, and it's not always just positivity.
It's not positivity, but it's just, I wonder if you could actually flesh this out, the difference between positivity and gratefulness, because I think we get that confused a bit.
Yeah, that's good. And you might have some to say on that too, Austin. Just, it's not, positivity can sometimes have this kind of false edge to it, if that makes sense, that, you know, kind of like, hey, whatever the case might be, I'm just going to try to see things in a positive light. It's like, no, we're going to be honest. And there is lament and grief at times. But overall, there's this, I think the word scripture uses too, is joy.
Yeah.
There's this deep joy that can't be taken away because we know what God's given, who he is, what he's done. That's not being touched.
Yep.
And that comes through. And it sometimes it comes through in the way someone will grieve with you.
And I think that's exact. I think we see that in grief. So when we like go to some of these funerals and, you know, we're mourning the loss of a dear friend, but you will see a joy in that we know where they are. Mm-hmm. We know that they're where we want to be eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this renewed body and this renewed relationship with Christ. And so I think that's really a good example of what that difference between positivity and... Yeah, anyways, I just wanted to hit on that.
No, that's good, because if, say, you're, Austin, going through a grief time, and I think a lot of times we want to avoid those situations, but the grateful person, you know, who's grateful to God will go into it because they have that perspective of knowing, hey, God's done something even bigger than death, so I'm not afraid of... This is, it's not fun to grieve and to be in that situation, but we can go there with people.
Yeah.
And I think that can have an impact, right? As we think about trying to reach out to our community and help those and obviously connect them with Christ.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, that perspective, that attitude, I think will make us more palatable to the people around us too. So.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the things that, you know, the practical examples that I would give is the example of one of my mentors, a guy named Paul Patton. I've talked about him before. Mm-hmm. We did actually an interview on the Amplify podcast with him, so if you're ever curious, go back and listen. But he has this thing, and the way he phrases it is that you always want to be generous with authentic praise. And what that means is don't be flattering, because flattery is not
sincere.
It's deceptive.
Right?
It's deceptive. But when you notice something that you admire, or that you respect, or that you think is good, say it.
Yeah.
Tell people, like, Dan, I really appreciate the depth of your sermons.
Right.
I really appreciate the intentionality you bring in understanding this community. Like, it's that sort of thing, as opposed to just, man, Dan, you look good today. Hey, you wanted to talk about that thing we talked about. You know, like, so just I think one of the great ways that we can demonstrate this practically in the community is being generous with authentic praise. That's a really useful tool that I found and would love to get better at, always trying to get better at, but I think would serve our community as well.
Yeah, that's great too, because I instantly someone popped in my mind too, a friend of mine who just excels at that. And we'd be sitting in a meeting and he'll point out something to someone and it's, you know, it's authentic and it's positive, it's encouraging, a good trait in this person. And I always sit there thinking like, oh, wow, he does that well, you know. And but you're right, for all of us, that's a good thing. That's another way to express gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord for the gifts he's pouring into others. So,
absolutely. Moving away from that a little bit, I loved the quote that you brought up from N.T. Wright in his translation, where he looks at the breastplate of righteousness and calls it the breastplate of justice, calling for us to live righteously and justly towards God's peace and peace with each other. And I think the justice element is really great because it really highlights that the way of the world is definitionally unjust. The way of the world allows us to prioritize ourselves over others, ourselves over Jesus, allows us to look over mistakes that friends and quote-unquote allies make that might be really grievous while we highlight these minor issues that our quote-unquote enemies make. But the way of the Lord and the way to live righteously in the Lord is implicitly tied in with the concept of justice. Now, the sermon didn't really talk too much about justice, and we could probably write 15 different books on the topic of justice alone.
Sure.
On
There's
the word
a few
alone.
Out there.
There's a few out there. So, you know, it's a really big deal. But I was just wondering if you could talk, especially in this context, about what it means to live justly and how do we apply a Christ-like justice in the church and outside of the church.
Yeah, you can't separate those two words. To live rightly is to live justly. And it's, I know, and it's a buzzword, so, you get, people get even anxious when you bring up the word justice sometimes. But it's very fitting. As we got to this point, and, you know, we emphasized a lot in the sermon, but really this aspect of righteousness, to live rightly or justly, is where the emphasis falls, I believe, that Paul's making. Because in the letter before this, when he talks about righteousness, he's talking about putting on the new self. That's Ephesians 4:24. And so this part of wearing it is a big part of it, to say we need to live this way. Just like we said with the belt of truth, is I need to speak truthfully in my life. And so this is a huge part of it. And I think even Austin, your description, you're highlighting already some of that, you know, and I thought instantly as you were just framing this conversation of what Paul says in another letter in Philippians, where he says, and he says this a few places, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, or consider others before you consider yourself. And that's such a battle. Even as we talked about righteousness, and we said, you know, we so want to tout our own resume, and we so want to make sure we're taken care of. And so to live justly, though, is to understand, you know, God's got me. He's taken care of my righteousness, my justice. He satisfied that in Christ. So I'm free to bring this to others and to do right by them and to, you know, think less of myself, which sounds funny, but think of myself properly, really, and be humble toward others. And so just to think about, you know, different roles of life, you know, maybe in my role as a pastor, you know, I'm given certain privileges and opportunities in relationships. You know, I have to use that well. I have to do right by people. And I know I'm never going to get it all right in this life. I need forgiveness like anybody else. But that's the goal. I want to wear the breastplate of righteousness. And so I want to see every person, not just the one who is, you know, encouraging to me in the church and kind of sees things the same way, but the person who's maybe difficult, to care for them well, to pray for them, to help them, right, to understand where they're coming from, all those things, right? If you're a business owner, we talked about that, right, the way we go about practices and, you know, working with customers and employees and lots of different jobs. You know, if you're in medicine, you know, and they take oaths for that, of course, right, in medicine, or if you're in law, right, but there's reasons for that, and it's usually tied to biblical reasons, actually, that this is how we're supposed to live. And, of course, as a church, too, you know, we seek, we ran across this Sunday night, just to tie a little bit, double sermon together with Joseph. He's in prison, and he just asks for help from the cupbearer. He says, I interpreted your dream. You're going to go be back with Pharaoh. I'm still in prison. Remember me, he says. Please, I'm not here rightly. Help me out. And he forgets Joseph for 2 years. But we just applied it and said, who is the one before us that could use our kindness? Who is the one maybe we're forgetting right now? And we even used a prayer of confession and earlier in the service to say that one of our, you know, ways we sin, or, you know, God calls us into service, we said, oh, we'll dip the toe in as long as it's easy. And I think there's people around us who we can act uprightly toward, right? We can help them see the justice of God that we're kind of backing away from, because it's going to be a little messy and it's going to be difficult for us. Or it's going to put us into contact with someone that's different from me and will be challenging. And so there were some good cross ties for me in the two sermons this week to see that request of Joseph and saying, well, there's a direct application here. People around us, too, need to meet someone who knows the righteousness of God and to be wearing that to help them, right? If they're, well, there's a reason Scripture brings up the poor, the widow, the orphan. I mean, just start with those categories. There are people in those situations all around us, and they're easily taken advantage of and have been, obviously, forever, basically. And so we need to be looking out for people in those situations. And what keeps me from doing that is thinking more highly of myself than I ought. And, well, I got to take care of me. And so wearing the breastplate of righteousness reminds me the Lord's taking care of me. I'm in a relationship with Him, so I am free and need, because of my love for Him, to serve others well, too. And we need to do that together. It's not just on you or me individually, but
absolutely
together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Thank you, Dan. So here's another, I guess I'll frame this, because I feel like we've all done this. So I'm just framing this from my perspective here. So I've got my breastplate of righteousness on, right? Mm-hmm. I've been saved. I'm in this relationship. I love Jesus. And over the years, I have not maintained it as well as I should have. I've added a few trinkets here. I've kind of like trimmed off another portion there because it didn't fit quite right. I kind of, you know, that relationship has really kind of faded, and my breastplate is no longer battle ready. It's a mishmash of, you know, my relationship with God and things I like just in general.
Yeah,
and
my relationship to the world.
My relationship to the world and maybe my politics and maybe my special interests, my hobbies, my family, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. This breastplate is no longer battle ready. Mm. How can I go about returning that relationship, that righteous relationship, when I've kind of added to it?
Yeah. I mean, this conversation's a good step, right? Just to say, you know, I'm identifying that some things have gotten a little off here. I mean, that's a huge step in the right direction. And we all probably need to do that every so often, at least. Because you're right, over time, all of a sudden, boy, we've gotten off here. And we don't really see it. So we need, you know, just like you take your car in for an oil change, or we go in maybe annually for a medical checkup, we need spiritual checkups too. Maybe it's good to have, you know, a relationship. Like, you know, if Austin and I sit down regularly and we can do that for each other, right? Some accountability. I think, you know, this is becoming maybe too important in your life,
right?
You might say to me or I might say to you. Because you're right. I think we're always tempted. That's why I brought it up, to kind of start putting our own resumes there instead of Jesus, and say like, well, yeah, I mean, of course this is going well. Look at me. And that's armor's weak. We said it's not going to cut it. But we need somebody honest sometimes to identify. Or we just need, maybe there's certain passages we go to, like Philippians 2 or like this one, to remind us of that.
Well, and I think it's really critical that you hit the, we need to go and revisit these things. We need to look at, okay, let's revisit these passages. Let's examine, let's do this self-reflection sort of thing. That's what I call my deconstruction, reconstruction period. A lot of, that's a phrase people throw around, and there's different definitions of it. But for me, that was the time when I was like, okay, you know, I recognize there's a lot of stuff here in this quote-unquote relationship that I don't know where that came from. Let's take a look at that. Let's chip off the parts that I added to it, and let's replace that with a more scripturally sound something.
Yeah.
And I think that's just such an important thing for us to do. I like the way you phrase it, as a checkup.
Yeah.
You know, let's do a checkup. Let's look at how we are in all these ways, and how does that compare with what the standard is and what how we should be living.
Right. And we might need some help, right, from another, like a friend, or and there's spiritual directors available, obviously.
Yeah.
But we need someone who we can talk to spiritually, because it is hard, you know, even for me. I'm going to do this checkup regularly. Everything seems fine in the moment, and only when you're looking, someone else looking from the outside says, oh, well, your attitude has changed, or, you're getting really caught up in this aspect because of your situation. And again, to tie in something, I didn't think about it, but from Sunday evening too, we talked about how easy it is for our situations or circumstances to drive the way we live rather than our faith.
Absolutely.
And just we put that question up there, and we know what the right answer is. My faith's supposed to lead how I act and think and talk.
But realistically, we know that's not the case.
Right. It's going to happen. And so we need to be aware of, oh, yeah, things have changed. I have this job now, and that's been impacting my, or I'm making this amount of money now, and that's impacting. I had this experience, you know, this election happened this year, and now I'm looking at things this way.
Or, you know, to make it personal, I had this experience with immigration. That really shaped, you know, and that was one of those things that really went through, and I had to, okay, what from this situation is driving me more than my faith?
Yeah. Yeah, so just, this is a very big picture example, but we're Protestant Christians here, right, from the Reformation, and it's easy to, you know, look at the Catholic Church, especially when that all kind of went on, like they were way off, and things were off. But, you know, even inside, they recognized some of that, but like the situation drove, like, well, now you're in charge of basically government, and you got to do those things. Well, we got to compromise here, we got to do that. Well, we need money now, so let's get the indulgences going. You know, it's a great business plan, but not a good spiritual leadership plan, And so that's what can happen personally for me, too. Like, I get in this situation, life gets busy with my kids, and suddenly I'm spending less time in Scripture and less time in prayer. And, you know, church becomes less of a priority because, you know, I got so much, and these are good things. But my priorities start changing, and then 5 years go by, and it's really hard to start getting back to these priorities. And so we need these checkups. Sometimes we need to have it pointed out, not always from a pastor, perhaps, but someone else in our life that can talk with us honestly about it. So that's an important piece you bring up. You know, it's not just the breastplate. It could be any of these pieces that's getting a little dinged up. Or, like you said, we're literally cutting out some other things and putting a little something else there, and it leaves us vulnerable.
What can we look forward to in our next week?
So yes, the next piece is a little more of a wordy description, having your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. So
really, I'm looking for the acronym there.
It's really the footwear of the soldier, but the gospel of peace is what we're putting on. So what again, what does this mean? Peace is a big word as well, and the gospel, you know. So I'll have my work cut out for me again to try to synthesize this down, but great stuff. We'll probably connect with that passage a little from Isaiah 52, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's maybe a connection of how the Lord, of course, brings to us the good news of Jesus, but how we can be wearing that as well. So looking forward to it. And hopefully for those listening, as you've been connecting with us in the sermon series, we're finding ways to bring this into our lives day after day.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dan. Thank you to everyone who's been listening with us and wrestling with all this stuff with us. It's so good. I look forward to it every week. And I can't wait to see you again next week.